Blog Talk Radio.
God's love for you goes on and on. When other hearts have failed, this love forgave from Calvary's cross, where that love heart be strong and your faith arise as I give you what I know. Well, I know there's a God in heaven who saves, who delivers and heals, for he gave his son, the Lamb.
Hey, this is Ann Windsor here at the Zoe Radio Network, and today we're continuing to look at a topic that may seem a little bit questionable by the heading, but just spend some time with me and let's just dig around in the Word of God and see what we come up with. God's standard for judging the world, the new man in Christ. Could that be? That God's standard for judging the world will be the new creation in Christ. This is part two of our series here. And our key verse that we're using is Romans 2:16, where Paul says, "In the day God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." This has been interpreted two ways, and one is the way that I am presenting to you. But the other one is the fact that within Paul's gospel, he preached the doctrine that one day God, through Jesus Christ, would judge the secrets of men's hearts. I went to some commentaries and wanted to share some of them with you today. Yesterday, we looked at the background of how Paul came to what he called, or how he received what he called, my gospel. How he met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. And over the next period of years, Jesus revealed to him what he called the mystery, been hidden in God from the foundations of the world. And we looked at the verse in Ephesians chapter 3, where Paul said that he was a steward of the mystery. If you listened to the broadcast yesterday, I encouraged everyone to spend a little time reading these verses, Ephesians 3:1-12, and where Paul said how that by revelation, God made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And the mystery, was that the Gentiles, here he listed as the, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Then he goes on down here. God called me to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. And then over in Colossians, we didn't get to these verses yesterday, but Colossians 1:23-29, Paul again mentions the mystery. He says, the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So here he defines the mystery as Christ in you, the hope of glory. Over in Ephesians, he defines the mystery as the Gentiles being made one with the Jews in the gospel, the promise that was made in the gospel, the promises that were made to Abraham that he should be the heir of the world, that the Jews and the Gentiles should both inherit those promises made to Abraham. Ground yesterday of how Paul came to this gospel, Galatians 1:11, he said, the gospel that I preach was not revealed to me by a man. He didn't learn it from any of the apostles before him. He said, the gospel, the message which I preach, was not revealed to me by flesh and blood, but it was revealed to me by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So, today I want to look at some commentaries on this particular verse that we're using for a key verse. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. First, we're going to look at the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary. If you have an internet, I got these from the Blue Letter Bible site. You can go and look them up. And also, I have these notes, a link to these particular notes on the broadcast page today. In the day, so Paul is picking up here from Romans 12, where he talked about in the day that God shall judge the secrets of men. Here, he is specifically referring to the unfathomed depths of hypocrisy in the self-righteous whom the apostle had to deal with. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men according to my gospel, according to my teaching as a preacher of the gospel. So again, that could be taken either way. In other words, Paul said there was a day when God would judge the secrets of men. That was part of his teaching as a preacher of the gospel. You could say it, he was going to judge men according to the revelation that had been given to himself, to Paul, by Jesus Christ. His teaching is what God was going to use to judge the secrets of men's hearts. Acts 17:29-31, I added this in, about God judging the world. This was a part of what Paul preached. We see him preaching it right here in Athens. For as much then as we know we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. So here he's saying that, yes, Jesus is going to be the one that God is going to use to judge the world. What I am proposing is that the standard that Jesus is going to use to judge the world is the product of his redemptive work, the new creation in Christ. Going on now to Ellicott's commentary. He uses both approaches. According to my gospel, he says, how is this to be taken? To what is it that the gospel, as Paul preached, testifies? It may be either to the simple fact God will judge the secrets of men. Or two, to the particular law or standard by which he will judge them. So Ellicott is presenting two viewpoints here. That when Paul said, my gospel, he is just stating the fact in his gospel that God will judge the secrets of men's hearts. Or, Ellicott says, Paul could be referring to a particular law or standard by which he will judge them. Then Ellicott, he swings on to the side that it's the very simple meaning that God is going to judge the secrets of men's hearts. That's what Paul preached. He said probably, on the whole, the former is the preferable explanation. Now, quote, he's restating the scripture from his conclusion. In the day when, as I teach, God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. So here we see Ellicott coming down on the side of the fact that this fact of God judging the secrets of men was a part of the gospel that Paul preached. Now going on to Matthew Poole, this was just an interesting statement that he made, my gospel. I wanted to clarify this here. Paul calls it his gospel, not as the author of it. See, we have to be careful when it says, Paul said, my gospel. He is not meaning that he is the author of the gospel. No, what he's talking about, the particular message, or this is what he says here, he is not the author of it, but he is the publisher of it. It was not his in respect of revelation, but it was his in regard of dispensation. Paul specifically said in Ephesians 3:2 that God had given him a particular dispensation due in the household of God, and that was to proclaim this mystery that had been hidden from the foundations of the world, but was now revealed through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and the birthing of the church in Acts chapter 2. Romans 16:25 also, oh, this is an excellent scripture. I wanted to get to it. When Paul said it was not his in respect of revelation, but in regard to dispensation, and how that God would judge the world by that word, that revelation that had been given to him. In John, this is just another confirmation of it. Jesus himself said, he that rejects me, this is John 12:45, he that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. Interesting. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Here Jesus is saying, the word is the judge. What was the message that Paul preached? It was the word, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That message that Paul preached is the word by which God will judge the world. And again, the message that Paul preached is demonstrated in the new creation. Romans 16:25 to 27, Paul said, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Here he's saying it again, according to my gospel. Paul's using that phrase a second time here. And it says here, God will establish you according to the power that is revealed in my gospel. My gospel gives you the power that establishes you. And this is true. I have seen, as Christians come to understand this revelation that was given to Paul, that they begin to experience that new creation power. That power of the new creation in Christ starts to really be released in their life. Now to him that it is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, here he's speaking again, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, commandment of the everlasting God, this mystery is made known to all nations in order to produce obedience to the faith, or the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. That's Romans 16:25-27. That is an excellent verse. Again, Paul is talking about my gospel. He's talking about the revelation of the mystery. He's talking about how you could say the revelation of the mystery was Paul's gospel. And that revelation has the power to establish you. This is really good. Going on now to another commentator, Gills, he said here, Christ will be the judge, and God, by him, will judge the secrets of men. These were as true and as certain as the gospel which he preached was. This teaching he calls my gospel. Again, he's stating also, not because Paul is the author or settled the gospel about me. In other words, he wasn't the author of it, and the message wasn't about him, but because it was committed to his trust and was preached by him, he called it my gospel. It was committed to him and preached by him. And also, he said, my gospel, to distinguish it from the gospel of the false apostles. So there were false apostles going around preaching another gospel. That's what Paul was speaking of there in Galatians 1. If I or an angel from heaven come unto you, preaching unto you any other gospel, if anyone comes to you preaching any other gospel than what I have delivered unto you, let him be accursed. So Gills just is making a comment here, and basically he is lining up on the side that when it says that God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to Paul's gospel, he is just stating that that teach of men was included in Paul's gospel. So he is not taking the viewpoint that I'm presenting to you either. I just wanted to be fair, show both sides of this issue, make it clear in your mind. And I'm not against what they're saying, because that was one of the tenets of Paul's gospel, was that God would judge the secrets of men's hearts. I'm just saying that this Paul's mystery, the revelation given to him of the mystery, is the standard that God's going to use to do the judging. Now, Myers' New Testament commentary. This is very interesting. Myers puts in the Greek words here, which I cannot read them all, but he believes that the position I'm presenting to you is the accurate decision, is the accurate position, that God will use that message that Paul preached to judge the world. Let me read to you here what Myers' New Testament commentary has to say. Paul was so certain of the sole truth of the gospel committed to him, which he had by revelation of God, that he could not but be equally certain that the future judgment would not be held otherwise than according to his gospel, whose contents are conceived as the standard of the sentence. So in other words, you know, in a human court, we have laws on the books. When a man comes before a judge, the judge uses that law that is on the books as the standard by which a sentence is pronounced. Did that man obey the law or didn't he obey the law? If he obeyed the law, then he isn't sentenced. He isn't given a sentence, a penalty, a punishment. If he didn't obey the law, then he is given a sentence is passed upon him. That is what he is saying here. Paul was so certain of the sole truth of the gospel committed to him, which he had by revelation of God, that he could not but be equally certain that the future judgment would not be held otherwise than according to his gospel, whose contents, the contents of Paul's gospel, the revelation given to him, are conceived, he sees them as the standard by which men will be sentenced. In that same gospel, he knew it to be divinely determined to whom eternal life would be given, and on the other hand, its opposite, eternal damnation, should be awarded by the judge. The standard, that the contents of his gospel would be the standard of the sentencing. So that is Gill's talk. He talks here about how Jesus is the mediator of eternal salvation. So also it is he who is commissioned by God to hold the judgment. Paul called it my gospel, again, to distinguish it from the preaching, not of other apostles, but of false, and especially of Judaizing teachers. Going on now to Vincent's word studies, my gospel, as distinguished from false teaching. Paul's assurance of the truth of the gospel is shown, and his confident assertion that it will form the standard of judgment in the great day. There, Vincent states it, what I'm telling you, what I'm setting before you, that it's the message given to Paul that God is going to use to judge the world. My gospel, God will judge the world according to my gospel. Again, these are commentaries on Romans 2:16, where Paul said, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, according to my gospel, according to my gospel. Vincent Word Studies, my gospel. Paul's assurance of the truth of the gospel, or the gospel, my gospel, his gospel he preached, is shown in his confident assertion that his gospel would form the standard of judgment in the great day. I went down next to some translations and picked up two that also states this. This is God's word translation. Again, these are translations of Romans 2:16. This happens as they face the day when God, through Christ Jesus, he will use the good news that I am spreading to make that judgment. God will use the good news that I am spreading to make that judgment. He didn't say that we apostles are spreading. He said that I am spreading. Now here's Weymouth's New Testament. God's Word is more of a more modern day translation. Weymouth goes back, though, quite a ways, maybe to the 30s or 40s. Weymouth was a Greek scholar. He put out an entire New Testament, and there is a series of, I don't want to call them commentaries, because he's really getting into the Greek meanings of the New Testament writings. But Weymouth says, on the day when God judge the secrets of men's lives by Jesus Christ, as declared in the good news as I have taught it. So again, you could take Weymouth as saying that God will judge the secrets of men's lives by Jesus Christ. How is he going to judge them? By according to what Paul declared in the good news as he taught it. Paul's gospel, God to judge the world according to Paul's gospel. God's standard for judging the world, the new man in Christ. I just wanted to show you those commentaries today, how there are some commentators that state that specifically, that it's the revelation given to Paul by which God is ultimately going to judge the world. But think about the big picture of what their revelation was. It was the revelation of the mystery. First of all, that the Jew and the Gentile would become a new man in Christ. And then that new man is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That ties right into 2 Corinthians 5:17. I have to go back to my closing statement from yesterday. What was Jesus' purpose in coming into the world? Taking on a tent of flesh, dying on the cross, taking his blood into the Holy of Holies, sending the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It was all to produce the new creation, to bring about a new birth, a new birth of freedom for mankind. Jesus did not talk about this mystery when he walked the earth. The closest he came to it was in his discussion with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, I believe, just thinking of it right quickly. He said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you that you must be born again." Nicodemus had no clue what he was talking about. And even up until the conversion of Paul, the early church basically was functioning as Jewish followers of Jesus. They neither had any understanding that they had become a new person on the inside of them and what that meant. They may have been aware of the Holy Spirit's indwelling them. Of course, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues. So they had the presence of the Holy Spirit with them, in them, upon them. But they still, I see it today in Christians all the time. They get saved, but they don't know when they got saved they became a new creature in Christ. They have no idea what is on the inside of them because Paul's gospel is not preached to them. I went over and did a little research. I'm going to share this on my next broadcast. Went over and did a little research here on the word gospel, just from the lexicon, the Greek lexicon. Very interesting, the definitions that I ran across. Talks about the kingdom of God, salvation through Christ, the proclamation of the grace of God manifest and pledged in Christ, the future that we have in store for us, Jesus' sayings, deeds, and death came to be called the gospel. See, they're confining these definitions. All these definitions confine the definition of gospel to Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection, and what he's going to do when he returns. There is nothing in these definitions of the word gospel pertaining to the revelation given to Paul of the church age. Interesting. At least that's what I saw at the first glance. I'm going to do a little bit more study on that, and I will share along those lines in my next broadcast. God bless you today. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you just happen to tune in today, He is with you right now. As you've listened to this message, His presence and nearness has drawn nigh unto you. He's knocking at your heart's door if you have that desire to know Him. So just ask Him, say, "Jesus," and tell Him, "Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again and that you are alive today. I believe that you are with me right now, and I invite you to come into my heart. Cleanse me of all my sins. Make me that new creation in you and be Lord of my life." And then just open your heart and receive Him. He said, "Anyone who calls upon me, I will save." God bless you today. Join me on the next broadcast. We're going to look at part 3 of God's standard for judging the world and the definition of the word gospel.
God's love for you goes on and on. When other hearts have failed, this love forgave from Calvary's cross.